Ghost stories are always scarier when they're told by the very people who experience them. Hi, I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And we're the hosts of the Homespun Haints podcast.
We talk to people just like you who have come face to face with ghosts, demons, haints, and other strange paranormal phenomena. All of it makes for a chilling good time.
So grab yourself a sweet tea, turn off the lights, and listen to some eerie, true ghost stories on Homespun Haints, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not scared. Are you?
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for joining us again this week. We discussed the Dead Files episode season 5, episode 7, although IMDb says it's season 6.
But they're on crack.
And it aired June 13th, 2015. It is currently June 9th, 2025. So we are 4 days away from the 10-year anniversary of this episode. Fun little fact. Right. Amy, yep. You chose this episode. Do you want to tell us why you chose it, or should we just guess?
I did. I want you to guess. No, I chose it because I was doodling over on Reddit and in the Reddit Dead Files section, and I was reading everybody's favorite episodes and thinking I would pick one that somebody on Reddit liked. And someone said they liked this one because it helped them get over addiction, and that was intriguing to me.
Yes.
So that is a content warning for you. We talked a lot about addiction and a lot about sacrifices that a mother will do for their children. Mm-hmm. And this was not especially a hilarious episode because there was a lot of kind of tough topics that we talked about. We loved this family and mm-hmm. they were going through some shit. Mm-hmm. And so that's your content warning.
So sorry we weren't super funny, but this was we strongly recommend you listen to our episode because addiction's a thing that everybody faces in their life, whether it's somebody they know who struggles, whether it's, mm-hmm. Themselves, it's out there, we can't hide from it. So
that's right. That's right. We're all affected in some way.
Yep.
If we live long enough, we will all be affected.
Yep.
So I do want to mention just quick, this is our 150th episode.
What? I didn't even get a cake.
We actually have over 180 episodes, if you count all the bonuses and mm-hmm. things like that. But this is our episode number 150. So yeah. I'm pretty excited because a lot of podcasters, when they start out, never get past 7. So we are certainly surpassed
the best. That.
All right. Megan, do you want to tell us what we're doing next week?
Yeah.
Next time?
Next.
We're not going to do next week, but next time. Next episode.
I chose an episode called Vengeance. It was season 5, episode 11, and it originally aired June 25th, 2015, so a couple weeks after this one.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Afflicted, and Amy is here with your overview. Amy, tell us about the show.
Okay.
This week, we are headed to Covington, Louisiana, where a single mother is desperate for help. Her family is under siege by terrifying paranormal forces. Her children are being tormented, and she fears for their safety. The activity has escalated beyond mere disturbances, leaving the family in a constant state of fear. Steve DeShavi delves into the property's history and uncovers a disturbing past. He learns about the original owner, a man with a tumultuous life, who met a violent death in a shootout he initiated. Steve also discovers that the man's wife endured significant hardship, potentially leaving a lingering emotional imprint on the property. Meanwhile, Amy Allen's walk reveals a trifecta of malevolent entities. She encounters a spirit of a dead man fixated on the living father, a deceased woman determined to torment the mother, and a demonic presence associated with addiction that has latched onto the young daughter. Amy warns that this demonic entity feeds off the chaos and could lead to devastating consequences if not addressed. Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. All right. Well.
Well, let's dive
here
in.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Let's dive right in.
Okay.
Let's dive right
let's
in.
Let's just crack on in. Boom. Bada boom, 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 boom.
Oh, you froze. That was weird. You froze for a little bit.
I was not. I'm not cold at all.
It's toasty. It is chilly here today. I just
want
to mention.
It is very chilly here. After we got back.
It's fucking June.
After we got back from John's dad's house, because Jordan was there, we were going to play outside on his scooter. And I went inside and I put jeans and a sweatshirt on him because it was so brisk.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I sat on the couch in with a giant blanket all wrapped around me, and it was probably 2 hours before I peeled it off. Usually I'm like freezing and then mm-hmm. I put a blanket on and then 2 seconds later I'm sweating and I kick it off. Mm-hmm. It was really nice sitting underneath that blanket.
But don't worry, and tomorrow it's supposed to be 80.
Oh, is it? Okay.
According to the weather on the radio.
Okay. On the radio. Okay. Well, I mean, it's June.
Yeah.
But... 80 is not bad for June.
No,
but
it, I think it was like when I left my house this morning, it was like 55 or 56 yeah. degrees.
It was 52 when I woke up.
Burr.
I was like, oh, guess I'm putting on a sweater.
Oh.
But. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, here we go.
Here we go, everybody.
All right. So as I mentioned, we're in Covington, Louisiana. Well, we're not.
We're not. We're in Minnesota.
It would be a lot warmer if we were there. We're in Minnesota.
Where it's
fucking cold.
Cold in June.
On June, what is it?
9th.
June 9th?
Gemini season.
And this is about 40 miles north of New Orleans. And Steve received a call. Not the dead Faust. Just Steve.
Just Steve. She called him on
his phone number.
Personal phone.
That's right. And she said the activity in her home has destroyed her marriage.
Bingo. So, mark that off your bingo card, everybody.
Yep. That's right. If you don't know where to get the bingo cards, just check out our website. If you do the survey, you'll get them. There's other ways to get them. They're on Patreon.
Yeah.
Anyway, bingo.
Bingo.
That's the first one. And then the first thing we see is Amy mm-hmm. after Matt, you know, does her...
Does his before Amy arrives. I gotta make sure the location is free.
it's so funny. I wonder sometimes if they just like have him record that in the studio and then just, I mean, obviously it's a voiceover anyway. He's not saying it to the camera. But I wonder if they just like have a few different versions of him recording that and they just play him instead of like, you know, having him do a new one each time.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes it sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
Many times, not every time. So the first thing Amy says is, uh-oh. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Never good.
Whenever she says, I get nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes me nervous. So we see the family. They're adorable. They're beautiful, beautiful family.
Yeah.
The kids are Scarlett. She's 10. Gilby is 6 and Savannah is 8. And we only see the girls. Mm-hmm. We don't talk to the boy at all, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. My guess is they did speak to him and he didn't see that much or they decided later they didn't want him in it. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, he is 6. I mean, so maybe the mom decided like that's too young or, you know, whatever. I mean, we don't know. But
right. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That could be. Because the girls are 8 and 10.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is kind of little. Maybe he got too nervous to
talk
to
Steve or something. Or he might have been with his... I mean, there's a billion reasons that he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. He could have been with his dad. Because as we learned, as we mentioned, her marriage was destroyed. Her husband does not live there. Obviously, mm-hmm. he's an ex-husband, I should say. But he is in the episode. And he is full on in the episode. So mm-hmm. he's there. He's being interviewed.
He's at the reveal. Yeah.
Yeah, he says, I'm here for
her.
Rhonda mm-hmm. is her name. He says, I'm here for Rhonda, whatever she needs, you know. So, I mean, it sounds like it's amicable, mm-hmm. you know.
And every time I heard Rhonda, I just kept hearing the Beach Boys, help me, Rhonda.
Yeah.
never failed.
So, yeah, we talk about why there was a divorce, and Rhonda says that they were soulmates. Another bingo. And
they both said that
himself.
He said that when they interviewed him. He said we were soulmates.
Yeah, Steve asked him later. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean.
Which makes me, well, we'll get to this.
Yeah.
But anyway, they do seem very kind with each other. I didn't sense any animosity or anything
either.
Going on there. They did mention that, you know, you noted here that, Megan, that they mentioned that he dealt with drug addiction. Mm-hmm. So there is that. That'll come up in a little bit.
But
said there was a personality change.
Yeah, and that's kind of where, you know, I don't want to diminish what they're going through, because I really, mm-hmm. like this family, I loved them. Like, this was a really good episode.
Yeah,
I loved Rhonda. I forget his name. He was very sweet. He even said, I'm here for Rhonda. And you guys know me, like, I'm like, believe whatever you tell me. If you tell me there's a demon in the room, I'm like, oh my God, what's his name? Like, I'm not like, hey, well, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But with this, I don't know. Like, I can't say for certain that it was the house that tore them apart. He had addiction, and mm-hmm. addiction is a beast demon in and of itself. And
yeah.
You know, maybe he did things under the throes of addiction that led to their downfall, which mm-hmm. is possible. And he even says it, you know, later. Yep. But I'm, you know, I don't know if we can contribute the demise of their or the end of their marriage solely to the activity in the house.
Right. Well, and I think that, and this is kind of a spoiler, but that's okay. I'm totally fine jumping all around. I don't want to go piece by piece with every step, like, you know, we often do. But I know that Amy says that it's possible that his actions are influenced by an entity in the house. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all paranormal mm-hmm. or that you can only blame the addiction. Mm-hmm. What if the addiction started due to some of the influence from?
Well, no, because she said in the reveal, Amy said, you brought this with. You brought this into
that's
the house,
true.
And she was talking to him. So
yeah,
we don't know
true.
The background. And, you know, it very could well be that once he was in the house is when his addiction started.
Yeah.
If it wasn't, if he had his addiction, you know, before they moved into the house, then mm-hmm. I would say that the house and the entities in the house are not solely responsible.
Responsible for the addiction. Yeah.
They helped and they contributed. You know,
sure.
but I
and I find. Go ahead.
No, I Sorry, forgot. What I, no, I'm good.
I was thinking about. It's interesting to me that Rhonda also confesses in the reveal that she is on pain medication
mm-hmm.
because she's got some pain. I can't remember what her pain is. Something in her back, maybe.
She said everywhere.
I can't remember.
I mean, she literally said her whole body was in pain.
Okay. So now, what I'm thinking is. Is the paranormal activity at fault for her pain, mm-hmm. which is making her take the pain meds, then the addiction demon is facilitating that and trying to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it looks to me like is happening with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that happened.
Maybe.
If his addiction worked the same way.
Yeah,
but like
maybe.
You said, we don't know.
We don't know
if he had the addiction when they moved in or not.
But Amy, I mean, like you said, we're jumping around. So in the reveal, Amy, one of the entities she sees is a demon specifically tied to people with addiction. And so that's what we're talking about when we say that addiction demon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, addiction is a fucking bitch. It's a beast.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you, I mean, it's you never shake it. You just.
Right. You just live with it.
You just live with it.
You figure out how to cope without doing the thing that got you there or you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never gone.
It's never. Yeah. John, my husband was talking. We were talking about something. He's like, I used to be an alcoholic. And I said, nope. I said, you're always an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And our friend who used to be an alcoholic, John's like, well, he hasn't drank in 20 years. Is he still one? I said, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I said he's in recovery. I said he's in recovery and he's been in recovery for 20 some years, but it never goes away. Like
it doesn't.
You never beat it. You beat it, but you don't, it's never gone.
Yeah. You can't just be like, oh, I guess I can drink again because I'm not an alcoholic anymore. Yeah. That never works.
So this was,
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, we have to make sure to mention that in the trigger warning in the beginning.
Huge trigger warning for addiction.
Yeah, we talk a lot about addiction. All right, so back to this. I found it interesting when Steve is talking to Rhonda and he's asking her about the divorce and da-da-da, and she explains what happened. And then he says, I don't mean to get nosy, but the more it's just the more that I know, the more I can convey to Amy. And this is the second time I've heard him say that, and I'm like, but you're not talking to Amy, not until the reveal, and you could have cleared that up then. Like, I found it interesting that he felt like he had to ask her about it in the very beginning so he could tell Amy when they say they don't talk to each other.
I think he just meant, like you said, in the reveal, and maybe it just could he have waited? Yes, but it makes for a good story. It makes for good TV. It would be my only guess as to why they kept it in.
Yeah.
It's a hot topic. I mean, they not kept it in.
Cindy too.
Asked about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and didn't edit that out. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what you meant. Like if they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If they talk about it like, oh, I'm going to have dinner with Amy tonight. And I want to tell her everything you told me. Oh, they're going to cut that out if he actually said that. Mm-hmm. But I will say, in defense of the show and the way that the production works, what we have heard every time is from the clients is they do not talk to each other.
Yeah. Yep.
They absolutely do not talk to each other. So
talk to many clients. Like every single one we've talked to has said they never talk. Yeah. They don't meet up. They don't do anything. Yeah. So
as far as the client would know, it's not like out there. I mean, it's possible they're calling each other or texting each other because, you know, they're besties.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Sarcasm.
I don't think Amy and Steve spent any time together other than what was required.
Maybe when they first started were, you know, because how sometimes when you start a new job and you're like, I want to be friends with all my coworkers, and then you know, get to know them and you're like, fuck this bitch. You know?
You're like, no, I do not want to be friends with all my coworkers.
I don't want a work wife. And you know exactly who I'm referring to.
I do. She was everybody's work wife. At least three guys.
At least.
Who? Yeah. That's
what I gathered from it is that he was just, you know, the more I can convey to Amy during the reveal. But then also, as I'm talking about it, I don't know if he would convey that to her in the reveal.
It would just be a discussion that they had all together, and they did. That's the way it was. Yeah. So it seemed like he was saying, I'm going to prep Amy on this, I don't know.
I think it was just poor editing.
I think they would have cut it.
Yeah, I think it was just bad editing because they've never done that as far as we know.
As far as we know, yes. Except for the times when they did it and they admitted that they did it, they said, we're breaking protocol.
Yeah.
And we're going to.
I only remember one time, and that was when Steve talked to. It was either Steve, it was one of them. And Steve had talked to a little kid who was who had serious abilities. And then that's when he brought Amy in to meet with that little kid.
Yep. Yep. That was really early on, too. I just watched that one again recently. There was another time that was a later episode where they broke protocol and they met on a dark street in the middle of the night. They got out of their respective cars and stood under a street light and talked
like a mafia meeting. You know,
deep throat or something.
Yeah.
And it was because when Steve was talking with the client, he learned that there was something going on in another location. Like, this might have been a business. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the details, but I think it was a business maybe. And the woman or the client had said that they were having experiences in their own home as well. And so when Steve met with Amy in the middle of the night under the streetlight, he told her that he wanted her to also investigate the home.
Yeah.
So then she had to go do a walk at the home. But I think it's only happened those two times. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's a whole separate thing.
It is.
But so back to Rhonda, she says she has a lot of pain, and that started the day after they bought the property.
Mm-hmm.
It's a burning pain in my legs and feet, and mm-hmm. it's all the time.
That's why she takes the medication.
Yep.
The pain medication. Yep. Yeah.
And they don't know what's going on or why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
When Rhonda talks about she was putting something away and it felt like someone slapped her on her butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, did something fall on you maybe?
And I'm like, Steve, because she specifically said someone slapped me on my butt. She didn't say I felt a hit on my butt. I felt something touch my butt. I felt, you know, movement on my butt. She said slapped my butt. And I understand. Yeah. Steve is just trying to rule it all out.
Right.
It might be the dogs, but like feeling something touch your butt and Steve goes, did something fall on you? Feeling something. And first of all, how is something going to fall on your butt unless you're bent over with your ass up,
your which
she
up could have
done. I mean, she did say I was over here putting things away, but like,
yeah.
Those are two very different feelings. Something falling on you and someone slapping your ass. You're going to know the difference. Yeah.
Right. A slap usually comes from under.
Yeah.
A boop. Whoop. Under. Whoop. And if something falling would come from above, right?
This is just physics.
It's just simple physics, really.
If I know anything, it's physics. And
yes, you do.
And math. Physics and math. Those two.
Yep. Yep.
You got a mathematical physics problem? Holy shit, I'm your girl. Call me. We'll solve it in 2 seconds.
And then
he's like, did you see if any of the kids were up here? Which, okay, I get, you know, but like, I don't, it was just like.
Like a kid's not going to, if a kid would do that.
They'd laugh.
They would probably giggle and ran off.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to I'm going to go slap mom in the ass and run. And
then stealthily creep away like a fucking. Yeah. And they're 6, 8, and 10. Like they're at the perfect age for doing that. And then giggling hysterically and telling you about it.
Yeah.
Like, I slapped your butt, mom. Ha ha, I'm so funny. And then shortly after that, she got 3 scratches on her arm. Those are never good. Things in threes are never, ever good.
No. And we know why they do it in threes, right? Because they're mocking the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Which just makes me so mad.
Yeah. And I noted that the photo wasn't so great.
No, but you can see
it. It was really hard to see. You can, but it's kind of hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also noticed as he's holding the photo and then she goes, look, it's still on my arm. And she shows him her left arm. The picture is of her right arm.
Mm-hmm.
And she's showing him her left. So that must mean that she's been scratched twice. Mm-hmm. And this photo is not from the scratches she is showing him.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears to be like on this part of the arm.
Right above the wrist.
Yep.
Like this area. If you're watching the video, it's right here.
Yeah. Right there.
Very Vanna White of me.
Yeah. Yep. I like it.
And I mean, everybody in the house is having attacks. The kids have had attacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked to, like we said earlier, both Scarlett, I think, and Savannah, and they both talk about having things attack them. Oh, God, it's not great.
No. I was a little confused about the master bedroom scene when they were talking, when Steve is talking with Rhonda, they show the outside of the house and they show this window at the very top, tippy top corner.
It's very like Amityville Horror-esque. Like, that's what it felt like to me.
It's a rounded window. It's just one, though.
With shutters. I know they had two, but the rounded window of it gave me Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I noticed the curtain rod is all wonky and like hanging.
Mm-hmm.
Looks funny.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that looked more like the attic.
Mm-hmm.
Like this family like had their shit together, right? I mean, I'm not going to say they had their emotional shit together necessarily, but like their house was kept up. It's a nice place. It looked weird to me that a curtain rod would be hanging like
wonky.
Off unless it was in the attic where no one's looking at it and no one knows it's there.
Yeah.
Because then we go to another scene where we're inside the room and I'm looking at the curtains inside the bedroom while Steve and Rhonda are talking and it doesn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
The windows are curved like that,
mm-hmm.
but there's not just one sitting in the corner and the room is not at an pointy angle. So yeah. I think that that's the attic window.
It would
and
have
that's
to
not
be
the master bedroom.
Yeah.
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 Then they do talk about some shit going down in the attic as well. So
yeah, they have shit going down everywhere. Except that we never they go do. In the basement, I think, which is a first.
Yeah, I don't think. Oh, are they? No, they're not. I was going to say, are they in California? No.
No. They're in Louisiana. But I don't know if they have basements either. They might not.
They might not because of all the
hurricanes.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Rhonda, you know, Steve's like, with all this shit you're talking about, it's nuts. And she says, it's just what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. Unless you live it every day, people just don't understand what you go through.
Which is true.
And I remember, yeah. Well, I remember talking to, I think it was Lance and Jennifer. Our first
it
class
was,
that we ever
because I remember this conversation.
Said, yeah. And they said the same thing is like, because they were telling us stuff that wasn't in the Dead Files and about like, you know, being attacked and, you know, having doors opening and shutting in their kitchen and all that. Mm-hmm. And we were like, how are you not absolutely insane?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, people don't believe you. No. And that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you've lived it, it's very hard to believe that that mm-hmm. would really happen. Unless you've seen it firsthand.
And how many times in a reveal do the clients, one of them say to the other, do you believe me now? And they just feel so validated because, like you said, mm-hmm. you think you're, you know, imagine you're out somewhere and your friend comes in and they say, oh my God, you're never going to believe this. I think my house is haunted. I mean, you listeners would be like, holy shit, because you're cool. But some people would be like, you know, they would be very like, well, what's going on? And, you know, they try to figure it out. And then if they can't, then you're just crazy to them because some people can't accept that there are other forces, other beings out there.
Mm-hmm. And also can't accept that there some people can experience these things and be sensitive to them and understand them and see them and hear them and smell them. And some people can't.
Maybe
because
Greg
they're one
is
of the
jealous.
People who can't.
That's what it is.
Maybe.
There it is.
Maybe.
We cracked it.
But if you're a first-time listener, Greg is my husband who is a very, very skeptic, very much skeptic.
Even though he's had stuff happen to him.
He's had experiences, but he's written them all off as something that he misunderstood or mm-hmm. dreamed it or mm-hmm. whatever.
Okay, so, Greg.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think if you can just accept the fact that some people see things that you don't. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that they're psychotic. It just means that like a person who is colorblind mm-hmm. can't tell the difference between red and green. And I can. And so that the colorblind person, do they just not believe that there's such a thing as green? I mean, no, they know that.
Or that woman on TikTok right now who's like blowing everything up because she put something for sale. I think it was a chair for sale. And she said it was blue. But the woman who bought it said it was gray. And she's going around holding everything up going, you're telling me that this is not blue and it's gray. Everything she's holding up is gray. And it's exactly like that. Like,
and she thinks it's
all
blue?
She thinks it's blue.
Interesting.
It's the same thing.
It's like that dress. Do you remember the dress?
Oh, God, the dress
many years ago?
20 years ago. The dress that almost broke the internet.
Right. It's totally blue, the dress. Totally. For me, it's totally blue. I see how people can say that it's off-white if you take into consideration that the lighting is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's information that your brain doesn't have mm-hmm. unless you are told that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just looking at the color.
Or it's like when you hear a word and you read it and whatever you read is what's said, but the same sound, if you read a different word, it's very trippy. Our brain is beep.
Our brains are weird, man. Brains are weird. All right. So then we meet the ex-husbands, which is Scott.
Scott.
That's his name.
That's his name.
Scott.
This was,
and
I mean, this was kind of throwing a little, I mean, not necessarily, like, I don't know if he meant to, but it was kind of like, probably hard for Rhonda to watch a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where was that one part?
So they're talking about Scott and his, you know, his experiences in the house and what he's been through. And, you know, then they split up and Scott was saying how he was angry in the house and he was upset and all of that. And then they split up and they got a divorce and he left. And Steve goes, are you like happier now? And Steve's like, funny you should mention that, Steve. I'm literally the happiest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. And it's, and I was like, ooch, that's got a sting for Rhonda.
That's got a sting. You have three kids together. You were both what you deemed as soulmates. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're apart now and you're on your own, you're happier, which makes me think they were not soulmates. Maybe they wanted to believe they were soulmates. Maybe mm-hmm. they were very much in love and they had a good connection. I don't know. I struggle with the idea of soulmates. I don't believe in that. I don't think that. I should say I don't exclusively believe in that. I think that if you meet somebody and you put in hard work, you can make it work. Does that mean you're soulmates? No. But on the flip side, does that mean you should wait to meet your soulmate before you get married? I don't think so.
Hmm. Yeah.
But that's just me.
I don't know.
That's just me.
I think there are, when I think of somebody being a soulmate, I don't think that means that's the only person in the whole world that you should be with.
Yes, agreed.
I think you can have more than one soulmate. I think you can have people that touch your soul that you should have in your life for a time, for a season or a reason, you know,
but maybe
they're not always going to be there, but that's what that.
But I don't think that's a soulmate. I think that's a.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't know.
We don't know.
But yeah, I have three kids and I left a marriage, but I'm the happiest I've ever been.
Well, see, and I'll play devil's advocate a little mm-hmm. bit, but I think that from what I could tell of their interactions together, and we never see him with the kids.
No.
But we never see her with the kids either, to be honest. They're all interviewed separately. But we do see Scott and Rhonda together mm-hmm. at the reveal. And they seem cool.
Yes, they do.
So my guess is that he spends a lot of time with them. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't live there. Mm-hmm. He probably sees his kids every weekend or every other week or something like that. It sounds like he and Rhonda get along well.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be shocked if he was married to somebody else. Didn't say he was or not, but I'd be surprised if he was.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's just saying that just not living in the house and being surrounded by that activity all the time has made me a better person. I'm more calm. I'm not on drugs.
That's probably what he meant. That's probably what he meant.
I'm hoping that's what he meant. When he said it, I was like, ew, I'd feel bad if I was
You know, I liked him. I thought he was... You know, he said, whether I'm a skeptic or not, I'm here for Rhonda. So clearly, mm-hmm. like you said, they get along well. There's no animosity there. You know, I did like him. I think he battled his addiction. And from what we could tell, he was clean and sober. Mm-hmm. So amazing work to him for doing that, because mm-hmm. that in alone, you know, is something to accomplish. And so I don't know. Yeah. I liked him a lot. I liked this whole family. Like,
I did too.
You know, even in the reveal, I thought they were great.
I did too. I did look for them. I tried to find them just by Googling, like I always do. I mm-hmm. Google the names and the city, and if they come up, like a lot of times when I do find the clients, it's because they were in a local newspaper or something. Oh, the Dead Files came to our neighbor's house and here they are and here they're talking about. So that's how I find some of them. But I did not find these people. So Rhonda, Scott, if you're out there and you would like to come talk to us, please do. We'd love to hear what's
going on. I'm sure they're listening.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, both of them. Probably together.
Hanging on our every word. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noted, I see my note, but I can't. Here it is. They're talking about, he said it smells constantly come from this room. It smells like rotting flesh, which that would be enough to make me not want to live there. But I noted that my mom's house used to occasionally have smells like that. And it was when mice got stuck in the radiator, not the radiator, but you know, the floor. the floorboards, yeah. radiator, the whatever you call that.
The vent.
And the
heater. Yeah, oh yeah.
The and they just crawl in there to get warm and die.
The baseboard heater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the word, baseboard. Yep. And then Steve says, so there was no indication of a body decaying or anything? And I was like, I know he meant like an animal body or something, but I'm like, I think I would know if mm-hmm. there was a dead body in my child's playroom.
Yeah. They spend a lot of time in that playroom.
Yeah.
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 I mean, in the show, not in real life. I don't know if they do in real the life, show. But in the show they are.
They lived in that fucking playroom. Yeah.
Every day those three kids were in there.
When they interviewed one of the girls, I thought she was in the playroom too, because they had the little kids' oven and stove mm-hmm. thing situation, a little kid's kitchen.
Yeah.
And but it was a different room.
Yeah.
I compared the two and it was a different room. So they have two sets of that. But yeah, this is where he says, I know I'm here for Rhonda. Well, I know how much this is affecting her.
They probably have to have two sets because you can't just have one. Then they fight over it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I did also note, and this is no shade to the parents, I'm sure the kids asked for this, but I did note that they had in the little girl's room that they interviewed where they showed her toys, mm-hmm. they showed, like, she's got the kitchen stuff. She's got a play vacuum. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess we're just raising her to be a good little trad wife. But she probably did ask for that mm-hmm. stuff, because mm-hmm. I know I did when I was little, too.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah. This is where Scott says, it's weird that you would say that. I don't think I've ever been happier in my whole life. Mm-hmm. Eesh. What else we got? Oh, you mentioned her setting boundaries.
Yeah. So we get to the point where we're with Amy and she is talking to the ghosts. And she's like, we are not going to be like, the ghost is kind of giving her some shit. And she's like, we're not doing that. If she said there's this mail, like a treehouse thing. And she said, I can't keep talking to you if this is going to keep being the way like he was, you know, kind of at her. And I'm like, oh, you're setting boundaries, girlfriend. I love it.
Yeah.
Because earlier in the show, when she was kind of still learning, she didn't know how to do that, or she wasn't confident in her skills to do that, or she, you know, was timid and didn't want to do mm-hmm. that or didn't feel like she could. Mm-hmm. But we're in mm-hmm. season 5 and she just gets stronger through every season. So I said, good on you.
She does.
For setting that boundary.
Yeah.
So.
And I had noticed she made a weird face. Mm-hmm. Wow. Amy Allen made a weird face. Imagine that. And she was swatting around her ears and her eyes kind of rolled back. And I thought she was probably channeling him. It kind of looked like she was kind of being taken over a little mm-hmm. bit, but I couldn't tell if he said the stuff that she said or if that was her talking. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe he said, I can't keep talking to you if this is going to keep being the way. Like, maybe that was him speaking to her.
But I feel like she would have said that. She would have said, I was jumped or something.
Yeah, but I mean... Yeah, I don't know. I guess
I don't know
if jumped and channeling is the same thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not a possession really, but I don't know.
Amy, anyway, if you're listening, clear it up for us.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know.
Just
give
us a call.
This little girl was so sweet.
Both of the girls were just the most precious, little babies. They were so sweet. Yeah. Savannah, I believe she's the oldest. She's the
one that's 8.
She's 8. Yeah. She had the cutest little, she couldn't say her R's. So they were oh my God. I wanted to like squeeze her little face. She was so cute.
Yeah. So cute.
And scared. Yeah. She was so scared.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. She doesn't like being alone in the room.
Yeah.
And then, Steve, he was very sweet with her. He said, are you afraid of the house, honey? And she said, yeah. And he said, any place you don't like being alone in? And she said, all of the places.
Yeah, they're in her room. And he goes, now, is this the room that you sleep in? And she goes, I would, but I don't.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, where are you sleeping? And she goes, with my mom and my sister and my brother. So as per the usual, they're all sleeping together because they're too afraid to sleep on their own.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Amy goes into Savannah's room and she is like moaning and crying. There's something inside the child, she says. I think it looks like a woman to her. And I can see that because those girls both have a very classic beauty about them where they don't look like little children. They have an almost adult looking faces. So I can see how the ghost might not be able to perceive.
Yeah.
If things are murky in the ether world, I don't know how that works, but it's quite possible that they are. They just think she's a woman. I mean, a very short woman. Amy said, there's always somebody in the room and they're always talking and it's not good. And I got chills because I thought you couldn't see her. I thought it was, I think when it said it's not good, I thought it was like, I know that we normally all the time can't hear the ghosts that Amy does. But for a minute, I was like, was that, did I hear that right? And I thought it was an entity speaking.
Oh, I see.
Not Amy.
I see.
So I got like chills. And then we talk with Scarlett. This is where I had noted that it looked like they were in the playroom again, but they weren't. It was just some of the same toys. And Scarlett is the oldest. She's 10. And she is she has been touched and scratched and grabbed. And she said it feels like fingers are touching.
And then she, on the screen, she does this. She holds out her arm and she just, and I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Oh my God. For being 10 years old.
I know.
Oh, it's just so sweet. Oh my God.
And then she says she's seen apparitions. And you said that it's like she might have been told this before because most 10-year-olds don't know that word. I thought that too. But then I thought if everybody has seen this and talked to mom about it, maybe they went, well, let's figure out what this is. It's apparitions. You know, so.
And I'm not saying it like in the way that they coached her for sure. I don't think that they did that. I think, you know, it's just she. Like you said, maybe her mom was like, well, that's actually an apparition. So I don't think she was coached. I don't believe any of these kids were coached or that anybody in the show was coached.
Like, I didn't get the feeling.
I didn't get the vibe that they were faking it. There's no kitchen magic. There's no, I wrote this book. this is my father's book. But yeah, I just.
We should just put that on the bingo card.
Every time.
This is my father's book.
This is my, would you, do you want to read my father's book? I wrote a book. So, but Scarlett has seen very, I think Scarlett's the one that's seen the scariest shit.
Yes, she says they look like people, but they're all scratched down and scaly, and it looks a little bit like an alien or something.
And she kind of she hunches over too, like this. And I'm like, it's amazing any of these people can sleep in this house at all.
I know.
But I mean, if you get tired enough, you sleep. You know, your body just makes you sleep.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
You have to. I mean, bless them. Oh my God. I just, this whole family is just going through it.
I know. And then we see Amy and she says about what she sees. Most people would call it a demon, but like, or most people would call it like a demon, but it's not a demon. I think it's scarier.
I'm like, what the fuck is scarier than a demon, Amy? I thought that's as bad as it goes. And Amy's not like, just kidding. There's worse. Well, thanks, Amy. That's a new fear unlocked. I didn't need. I have enough of them.
Right.
No, Amy, I'm fine.
No. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Argo 2, The Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. And then Amy says, I've seen the dead people with these things and they look like they're suffering greatly. Like they seriously, like she said like a few times, like seriously, like better do what I say or people are going to die, period.
And she said, these things attach to people, like people who are alcoholics or drug addicts, and they typically attach to somebody who's in the throes of an addiction. And then she said, when these people die, they're stuck with this thing forever.
Yeah. That's why I picked this one, because I was reading a Reddit thread on favorite episodes. And one Redditor said that this episode made them give up their addiction.
I was wondering. That comment was very confusing. So I'm glad you. I'm glad
and
you
it's
said
because
that.
I assume it's because they thought, oh my God, that could be happening to me, or that could happen to me if I don't shake this motherfucker.
Yep. Because at the end, I mean, Amy says, if these people die in the throes in addiction, this thing has their soul
forever. Yeah.
So
if that doesn't scare you.
But again, I mean, addiction is powerful. So it's, even if it does scare you and you can't come out of it, like addiction is its own demon. And I've never been, you know, addicted to anything except Sims, but just kidding. That was a bad joke.
You said Sins.
No.
S-I-N.
No,
you said Sims, the game.
The game.
Yeah.
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 So I can't speak to addiction, you know, but it's, I don't know. This is kind
You're
of
lucky
a,
you don't have that gene.
Yeah, this I do. I think I do, because I think my birth father, according to my birth mother, which grain of salt, was dishonorably discharged from the military for drug use.
Oh,
so I don't know if that's true, but
that doesn't necessarily mean he was an addict either.
No, though. It doesn't. He could have smoked a joint in, and this was the '80s, you know, maybe even the '70s. He could have smoked a joint and they're like, oh, you're out for drug use. And, you know, I watch old episodes of Cops and they're like, oh, we found marijuana, we're going to jail. And I'm like, this was like 30, you know, in the '90s, 30 years ago. But I'm like, okay, it's just fucking really.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was still happening up until, it probably is still happening, but it was happening up until weed was legal here.
And I was saying, even before I started smoking, it's not a gateway drug. The most somebody's going to do on weed is eat through a convenience store of Doritos. Like, and that's asking a lot, because usually by the time you're there, all you want to do is lay on the couch and watch a show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that just me?
Yeah.
Anyone? No? Okay.
It's me too.
Yeah.
I have to eat something salty.
Really?
And then
I'm
I
a
have to
sweet.
Eat something sweet.
I always have to have sweet. I don't. I'm not a salt. I'm a sweet person. I know. I'm a sweet salty. Person, you guys.
I know. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And I'm salty.
Yeah.
Always been.
That's what you mean in a word. I'm like, honestly, fucking salty.
Salty. Yep. That's me.
She's a salty bitch. I'm just kidding. I never call her the B word. I don't call anybody the B word. Unless you're being one, but I never call it in jest. Yeah.
No.
This is not a funny episode, you guys, but this was a very serious. It was very serious. There were some tough topics in this episode.
Yeah, there were. All right. So let's get to segment two.
Digging through the archives.
Digging true. We meet Mary Thompson, the local historian. They meet at the edge of Lake Pontchartrain. And it looked like there was a Nessie type, Loch Ness monster type statue in the water. Yeah. So I looked it up. There is a Lake Pontchartrain cryptid or something like that, but it is not in the water. However, they do have alligators.
Of course they do. It's Louisiana. They got gators.
Well, I would think they have gators in the swamp, but in a lake, it's a pretty good sized lake. Yeah.
There are both salt and freshwater. I think, I don't know if there are freshwater alligators. I believe there are fresh and saltwater crocodiles. So I think
you're right. I don't know this for sure.
Speaking of, I'm sorry, this is totally off topic, but Planet Earth 3 is finally on Discovery Plus. I've been waiting for that forever.
Okay.
It's David Attenborough. You know how much I love him. You know.
Yeah, he just had a birthday.
I know, he's 99.
Oh my God.
Doesn't look a day over 80.
No.
I know. Sorry, that was not related, but it just talking about alligators made me think Planet Earth 3. Right. I just love it so much. I love him so much.
Yeah. So Rhonda's property, it dates back to the 1800s. The house is newer, obviously.
Yeah. They built it. So that's why Rhonda said her and her husband built it. I don't know if you said that. Right. I'm sorry if you did.
No, I didn't. I just meant to say her house was not built in the 1800s.
Then we get who says, I'm on my way to meet with a local historian who said one of the original owners suffered heartbreak, insanity, and death. Oh, my.
Yep. Oh, my.
You know how I love that, everybody.
That's right. Okay. So we learn about Francis Bozier.
Bozier? I think it was Bozier.
Bozier?
I think it, Bozier.
Okay, Bozier. Who inherited 100 acres of property. Oh, it was a female. I get Francis and Francis mixed up. When it's the I, it's the male. And when it's the E.
Really?
F-R-A-N-C-E-S is a... Yeah, I guess that's a female.
I just learned that today. That was how you tell them apart. I was today years old, as the kids
pronounced
say.
The same. Francis Bozier inherited 100 acres of property from her deceased grandmother.
Adjusted for inflation, that's like 500 acres. I'm just kidding.
So they show the patent. And then because this was the 1850s, as Steve said, and he was correct, at some point, the husband had to have gotten the property turned over to his name.
Yep.
Sure did. Yep. And that didn't really go so well.
Just a woman. Barely had the brains to walk upright. I mean, she can't have property. What are you? Crazy?
No. Crazy. That's crazy talk. But he was reckless. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he had an addiction.
He might have.
Anyway, he was reckless. So she sued him for the property and won.
Whoa. So he must have been really bad for her to have gotten that property, because
I know
it's the 1800s. When is 1850s? Okay, so 1850s. Yeah. He had to have been horrible for the judge.
He probably squandered all of their money.
Probably. But even a bit for the judge to be like, you're so bad, I'm actually going to give a woman the control of it. That's how bad you are. And he probably was like, listen here, Joseph, you better be ashamed, because you're so terrible. Your wife is more responsible than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just paraphrasing what I think happened in that courtroom.
That's just your...
My take.
Your dramatic reading
of
it. Yes.
My creative license with it.
That's
if you will.
That's right. Well, then this did not break them up.
Steve's like, did that break them up? Even if she wanted it to. This was the 1850s. She had no money. She had no way to take care of herself. If she would have left him, realistically, the only thing, probably one of the only ways for her to support herself would become a sex worker.
Well, she's got all that land now, though. All the land was turned over to her.
Do you think she would get that if they divorced?
No, but after she won the land back, she could have set him free. And then she would have had the land and all of that in her name, and he would have been gone.
That's true. Okay.
So, but it didn't break them up. However, sadly, in 1853, their oldest daughter, Fanny, drowned in an accident right there on Lake Pontchartrain. We don't know how old she was. I don't think they said, but let's just say she was a grown up.
That would make me happy.
Let's pretend like she's 19.
Which is not more than a child.
But yeah. So Amy sees this.
I mean, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful episode, but it's very hard.
It is. There's a lot of harsh, not harsh, a lot of
tragedy.
painful things in this one. Amy sees an old woman who beats on the living woman here and says this is her house and she wants the house back. Who does that sound like? Miss Frances.
Miss Frances.
So let's see. I don't want to get too much of the minutia here. Joseph. Joseph is the other, you know, that's the husband. He got involved with a man named J.M. Vernon, who was his business partner. And like all of his business dealings went sour.
Bossier's business dealings, not Vernon.
Bossier's, yeah. Yes, yes, not Vernon. And so they, Joseph went to go set J.M.
Wait.
Straight and wait. Caught him at his work.
Before that, the reason he was setting him straight is because J.M. Vernon wrote nasty things about Joseph in the paper.
Right.
And
right,
that's what started this whole, because J.M. Vernon was the newspaper editor. So he could do whatever he wanted. So he put nasty things in the paper, whether they were true or not.
Yeah.
We don't know. But Joseph's like, what the fuck, dog? Is again, creative license.
That's the updated version of the dialogue.
As the kids say. Just, as I don't think any kid has said dog in 30 years. No,
it's been a while. It's been a while. So he goes, Joseph goes to the courthouse to confront Vernon and draws a gun. But Vernon was a faster draw and Vernon shot Joseph 4 times in the hands, face, ribs, and mouth.
So that is just like insult to injury. Literally. Literally insult to okay, wait a minute. That's crazy. Sorry. So so add insult to injury. Not only does Joseph find this guy and he's like, I'm going to shoot you. And he draws his gun to shoot this guy. Vernon was faster and he shot him 4 times and killed him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy, Joseph, sounds like he just had bad luck.
He doesn't sound like he had his shit together at all.
No. He sounded like
he died 12 days later. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
So go ahead.
He sounded like one of those guys who's always like trying to get rich quick. And I've got this scheme and I've got this idea. And, because it says, you know, they said Joseph had a lot of business dealings that all went sour. So that's
all went bad. Yeah. He's probably one of those guys that can't keep a job.
No.
And so just tries to keep creating new jobs and creating new businesses. And they all fail because he doesn't know what the fuck he's
today doing. Today, he would be called an entrepreneur, but not a very good one.
Not a good one. Yep. So Amy sees this guy that hangs out in the tree and there's all this pain associated with him. I think we assume this is him. Then Steve goes to talk to Renee Shaw, a descendant of Joseph Bossier, who, let's just say, we know that, you know, if you ever have anybody in your family that is kind of like the black sheep or the not the greatest person, you know, shit gets glossed over. Yeah. You're not always, you know, the true story is not always being told down generation to generation. So, you know, she doesn't make him out to be the loser that he appears to be.
No.
But it's quite possible that, that he was.
She said she's his 5th great-granddaughter. So that would be great, 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 great granddaughter. Oh, my. That is a lot of greats.
That's a lot of greats.
But you're right. You're 100% right. Like, nobody's going to be like, well, my dad was a fucking moron for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so she's talking about him and she says he joined the Navy when he was 11.
He's 11.
And then they're like, he got kicked out of the Army, that he got kicked out because he stole something when he was 11. Then he joins the Army when he was 12. And I don't know why he was discharged from the Army at 12. And I'm like, he shouldn't have fucking been in the Army at 12.
I know. You don't put children in the Army.
Not even. That was his second military branch he was in.
Yeah.
So that would be like their Rhonda's daughter, Scarlett, in 1 year after this, going to join the Navy. Bye, Mom. Right. I'm going to go be a sea person on the boats, which like
a sea person on the boats.
I didn't want to say seaman because she's a girl.
A sea woman.
I'm trying to be inclusive.
I love it. Thank you.
Sea person on the boats. Maybe that should be the title.
Yeah.
But like,
well, then he became a mercenary for several different countries: France, Russia, Spain, Britain, and Egypt. And then he was, as a mercenary, he was accused of drowning a crew member, and then he built a ship.
He's Noah.
And played pirates. She literally says he played pirates.
Yeah.
So he would like sidle up to another boat.
That was his friend.
Walk onto the boat. Yeah. And I don't, it says he didn't actually rob people. He probably did. But he would, you know, get on the boat and raise the skull and crossbones and board their ship. And he was just playing. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what she's been told.
Right.
And who knows if it's true?
And she said he would see other ships out in the Gulf and he would know that they were his friends. And he, like, how do you know that? I don't know. Whatever.
He probably knew the ship. He could probably send, he probably saw the ship. But he wasn't right all the time, because one time he thought it was his friend and he did this whole shenanigan that he normally does. He got on the boat and it was not who he thought he was. And he and his crew member got beaten within an inch of their lives.
Which is pretty lucky. Because I would assume most pirates or people would kill them. So they were they were lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then we see Amy.
Oh, my God. But then Steve goes, did he ever get charged with anything? And his fifth great granddaughter said no. He ends up suing the captain for damages that he boarded his ship.
Yeah.
That's like you break into someone's house to rob them and then sue them because their dog bit you.
Yeah.
That's literally what he did. But it was like the 1800s version of it.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy. I want to note when Amy is walking around and she's seeing this military guy, which is Joseph, we assume. And this was what she's talking about him. And she's walking around talking to Matt about what's going on. And we hear a production whisper, like in the editing, they put in a or whatever, which sounds always so fucking creepy to me. And because she's walking around outside in the woods, all I could think of was the Appalachian Trail things that they say. Like, if you heard a sound in the woods, no, you didn't.
Yeah. If you
thought you heard your name, no, you didn't.
If you hear a whistle, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't. Get back in the house.
Yeah. Why are you even outside at the in the dark in the Appalachian Mountains? Have you never seen anything?
Right.
I don't know. I've never been to the Appalachian Mountains, but...
I haven't either.
I've seen the TikToks.
Probably won't, because I'm scared.
If it's on TikTok, it's real. Yeah. So
it's real. It's for real. Yeah. Then he meets with Bill Larson Ruffin, who's a local archivist, and we peer over the stacks to look at them. That was the weirdest camera angle.
It was so weird.
It was very silly.
Like, we're spying on them. Like, they're having this clandestine meeting.
Yeah.
And we're like, ooh, what are you doing over there?
And we, like, moved a book so we could see through.
Like... We had our little pen microphone like Harriet the Spy. What are they saying?
Right. Well, Bill talks about a guy named Frank Linnell who married a woman named Louisa Schultz, and then her father died and she inherited hundreds of acres of property, and the house was on that property. Mm-hmm. So it's the same property. And this was 1880, and he and Louisa had six children.
That is not what Bill Larson Ruffin said. Bill Larson Ruffin said,
"Oh,
he and Louisa had about six kids."
About six
how
kids.
Yeah. Do you have about six kids? How do you do that?
I don't know.
I was just like, I was like, Bill, I know it's probably just, you know.
They didn't make him do it again.
I know he didn't really. It was just like about six kids.
He had about six kids.
About six. They give or take one, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when there's, you know, they're on three, you don't really, you can't stop counting, I would think.
It's true.
So he remarries another woman. And Elizabeth Davis, and the area was quite built up, and the trains are coming through, and the population is expanding. And he decided to open this hotel, which he did in 1880. But then he died about a month after he did that.
Well, he died by suicide.
Yes, that's right. He died by suicide. And then about 3 months before he opened the hotel, his second wife died of unknown causes. And I'm like, I am sensing a pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then he did all open the hotel, but then he
and
died by suicide.
Bill was like pantomiming because they said they determined he had shot himself with a pistol through the chin into the brain. And as he's saying that, Bill is like pantomiming it. I'm like, Bill,
yeah,
we get it. We get it,
we
Bill.
All know. We've all seen that.
We
all know what that looks like. All right, then we have the sketch, and Amy decides that she's going to draw the dead man in the trees and explains that. And they say, Amy, is this what you saw? And she says, yes, that's what I saw.
Yep.
The whole, not just yes. Yes.
That is what I saw.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're on to the reveal. And we already talked about this a little bit, so we probably don't have to
do
too much. But I wanted to note that when Steve says, I wanted you to meet Rhonda and Scott, blah, blah, blah. He lived in the house for a while and you've been out 3 years now, which I don't think they said that
before. They didn't
say
that.
How long he'd
been
out. But he's a skeptic, but Rhonda wanted him here just so he could know the hell she's going through with the kids. And then they show Scott and he does like a, looks like he's shocked that this is why he's been asked to be here, which is probably an editing thing. We all know that they piece shit together at the end to be weird, but it just kind of sounded funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this reveal did not take place in the house because Amy asked for them not to. He asked her why. He said, this is the first time you've ever done that. So I'm surprised that we got all the way
to season five,
midway through season five before that happened. Cause I've seen it happen several times, but it must've been in later episodes. And she says there was so much going on here that she felt like she was physically in danger.
Which,
so that's why they,
given everything,
we don't know where they held it.
Given everything that happened to the kids and Rhonda, I don't blame her.
Right. No, obviously. And as the way that the walk went, you know, he was really, that one guy was really,
really, really aggressive at her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So now Amy talks about the things she's seen. Scott talks about his personality changes. Steve tells the same stories we've all told. We've all been told about Joseph and all this.
Oh, God.
And then they pull out the portrait and it's the sketch of, she said, the guy in the trees. They don't actually, the sketch is not of him in a tree. It's just a portrait of a man. And Steve says, this is a portrait. There's the sketch. There's the portrait. And just was funny the way that he said it like that. And all I could think of was that clip that they keep showing from the new girl with Nick.
Nick
going,
and
I
Schmidt.
Gave you, cookie.
You gave me cookie. You gave me cookie. You gave me cookie. You gave me cookie. And then.
Have you seen the one with the babies doing that?
Yes.
The TikTok.
Yes.
They have the babies. Oh my God. I love that.
I don't wash the towel. The towel washes me. Steve says the stupidest line I've ever heard him say in the entire show.
Wow, this is going to be good.
So we have the picture of Joseph, and then Amy's like, I had a sketch done, and we see the sketch. And Steve goes, it's about as good of a sketch and a portrait as you're going to get. And I said, in what world, Steven, to me, this does not look like the guy in the picture at all.
It
looks like he's got a ponytail the way she drew him, that little tuft by the neck. There's lines around his face, that around his mouth, like laugh lines that were not there. His lips are completely different. The Joseph's lips in the picture are very thin and kind of long. The sketch's lips are full and like plump. Like, this is not the same person. Not.
I think.
What? Steve?
I know.
I'm sorry.
I can see why they thought the hair was backed. The eyes are similar. The nose is similar. I think if they hadn't drawn those lines around the mouth going down, because it goes from the nose to the chin down, it makes it look like he's wearing a Fu Manchu mustache. And so he looks like an old samurai warrior or something.
But even the chin, the nose, Joseph's nose is kind of pointy, like not pointy like a, but it's like, it's very...
Well, yeah, he's kind of off to the, he's looking off to the side a little bit more than this guy, but.
There's nothing, the only similarity is that they're both men. To me, that's where it ends. And Steve.
I mean, the hair is similar, except for the potential ponytail in the back. It's hard to tell.
No, because this guy even has kind of a little widow's peak. Joseph has kind of a little widow's peak, and this hairline goes straight across.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is not the same person, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, the stories line up, though. It seems like
the stories line up, but...
Maybe the sketch artist just isn't that good, or maybe Amy did describe it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It does sound like Joseph, but the picture, the sketch is not the same to me.
It doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like it.
Well, and keep in mind, the picture of Joseph is also a sketch. So who knows what Joseph really looked like.
Right.
Maybe he did look more like the sketch in the way that Amy described it.
That was a bit, of a rant, but I was very upset by that.
I can see that.
I literally yelled out loud. I said out loud, this is not the same person.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm done now.
I said, that guy looks Asian. Scott talks about, or Amy tells Scott that his personality and Scott's personality are like kindred spirits, and that this guy is like stuck to him. And
Steve
said, I got to be honest with you. When I spoke to your ex-wife, she made it sound like you were pretty reckless in certain things. And I'm like, comparing him to Joseph.
And I'm like, damn, Steve, like kind of throwing her under the bus there, which I'm sure they've talked about this. Like, I'm sure this isn't news, but like,
yeah.
Come on, nobody wants to know that their former spouse is still talking about this. Like, come on, Steve.
Yeah.
But Scott agreed. Well, I've been notorious. I've done it, you know. So maybe it wasn't that bad because he knows.
He said, making decisions that made my life more difficult than if I would have made the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that is, but I can make some guesses.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, let's see. What else do we have? Anything else we have to cover in this part? Oh, the scratches. They show the picture of the scratches. This is a little better angle for the picture, so you can see the scratches a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve at one point is like, well, I know you've got a lot going on, and I know that wasn't the finish of your walk, was it? And Amy's like, hell no. We are just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
But then she goes on to talk about all the other stuff. And then we have sketch number two, where Steve says, just be prepared for what you're going to see.
Which we all know.
Okay, Steve, we already know it's always going to be something.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to tell people how bad it is. And this is the sketch that is, it's one of the bedrooms of, I think it's Scarlett.
Yeah.
And she is sitting on the floor with a woman, which I assume is her mother. Not a ghost. And there's a bed behind them with pillows on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then standing in front, like closer to us as we're watching them, is this sort of demon thing.
Because it has like a very long legs and very long, slender arms.
Yeah. And those big, big, like fly-like eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got something sticking out of the top of its head. And then it comes down. What is that?
No, those are wings.
Oh, those are wings. I see.
Because remember, Scarlett said they had. Yeah. So there's the wings are kind of coming up like a butterfly almost.
I see it. Yep. I see it now.
Yeah.
Yep. I was like, it looks like he's hanging from something.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. And then Scott says, I almost get the feeling this is the angel of death. And Rhonda goes, oh, no, this is no angel.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dramatic.
It is very dramatic.
Yeah.
And then Amy's like, for lack of a better term, I guess you would call them demons or devils, but they're not that. They're worse. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm like Amy, you're like, there's a worse. I'm like, yeah, like what's scarier than a demon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
Amy.
Yep. And this is where Amy explains the thing about the addiction. The sucker's really evil. They don't instigate the addiction. It comes when the person is in the throes of an addiction, mm-hmm. and it pushes them over the edge and leads them to death. And then it keeps their soul and tortures them for eternity. So if you have an addiction, it might be a good idea to get that looked at.
I mean, anytime you have help. Yes. But then she said I've usually, when I've seen these things, meaning she's seen them before, there it's been with drug addicts, with alcoholics, you know, people with severe addiction. So she said to see it with a child is very bizarre. But then my thought is, if that woman in the picture was her mother, maybe it was there for her mother, because Rhonda admits, like, I do take pain medication for the pain that I've had every day for 11 years since moving in. So maybe it was waiting for her to become addicted to grab her.
Well, I think it was stuck to Scott, and then Scott booted. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't have anywhere to go, and it was pissed, mm-hmm. and it glommed onto mom.
Yeah. And that's what Amy says. She said, so the mom says, I'm in pain a lot, so I take medicine now, but I'm not addicted. And Amy said, okay, well, the problem is this thing wants you to become addicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then it gets to feed off.
Then it gets to feed off you, and you die, and it takes your soul forever, and it tortures you forever because of addiction. So when we say addiction's a demon, it's not apparently just a figure of speech. Like, it's so if.
Well, and I don't know that every single person who has an addiction has one of these demons flying around with them, but that in this case, apparently they do.
Yeah.
So Amy explains that, you know, the solution to this is in your hands. Mm-hmm. This is not something someone else can come in and take care of for you.
Regarding the demon, the addiction
And then she says, these are the three reasons that this needs to stop. And they show the picture of little kids again.
She said, not a lot of people get this warning. And that's exactly what this is, a warning.
So she says, it really didn't give her anything to do except,
she did a little bit. She said, you do need a medium to come in and cleanse your house of the dead, or your property, so the dead can't come back in. So that will get rid of Joseph and Francis. As far as the demon goes, she said, the only, you know, you guys are the only ones who can get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if, you know, if it'll go away.
Yeah.
Is it one of those things that, you know, if you've beaten addiction, is it always there? Kind of waiting for you, or once you've, you know, recovered,
or waiting for somebody else.
Yeah.
What if mom gets over her addiction, it goes dormant for a little while, and then one of the kids grows up and starts messing around with shit, and the thing starts bothering them, you know? I don't know. Anyway, they end with that Rhonda has stopped taking her pain medications, but she is still looking for a Wiccan. I'm like, where the fuck did the Wiccan come from?
They must,
unless that's the medium, but that's not what Amy said.
Yeah.
As far as we know, Amy never said anything about a Wiccan.
No.
So I think that was some either the person doing the ending cards there was on something, or
they edited out. They did say the activity has stopped, right?
No, it just said this.
Oh.
Rhonda has stopped taking her pain medications. She's still looking for a Wiccan.
Which makes me so sad for her, but like, this is the true. This is what, you know, shows the strength of a mother and what mothers will endure. She said multiple times through the show that she has been in physical pain every day. But to protect her children and to protect her home, she has decided that living with that pain is better than the alternative. And that to me is like the most powerful part of this whole episode, is showing what Rhonda does for her children. And what moms every day do for their children.
Yeah.
It's just like, this was, this family was so beautiful. Like that just resonated with me so hard when I read those words. Mm-hmm. And Rhonda has stopped taking her pain medication. I mean, she's willing to endure daily pain. She said burning through her hands, her legs, and her feet to make sure that her children don't see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, this family was wonderful. I mean, this.
Yeah.
This was a good one. Sorry we weren't funnier, but this episode, there was a lot. And this was a tough, this had tackled big issues. And some,
it really did.
You know, some issues shouldn't be joked about.
Right. Right.
So.
All right. Well, we're going to record a sideshow now, yep. And we'll try Me Funny there. So come on over to Patreon.
Come on over to Patreon and listen to us be hilarious.
But for now, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
We will see you next time.
Thank you. We'll see you next time, everyone. Bye.
I wanted to add a little corrections corner on this one. We don't like to do research while we're recording. So here are things we looked into later and want to address. Megan suggested that there are fresh and saltwater crocodiles, and I looked it up, and I learned that this is true, though most crocs are saltwater, and most alligators are freshwater. This is from Google's AI. Alligators generally favor freshwater environments like ponds, marshes, and rivers, while crocodiles can thrive in both saltwater and freshwater settings. The difference is due to the crocodile's ability to excrete excess salt through glands on their tongues, allowing them to tolerate brackish, a mix of fresh and saltwater, and saltwater environments. Alligators and crocodiles are both members of the Crocodilia, but they belong to different families. Alligatoridae, or Adai, I don't know how you pronounce that, and Crocodilidae, respectively. Alligator a day and crocodile a day. That sounds like a crocodile a day. Anyway, alligators generally have broader U-shaped snout and are more likely to be found. This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy. In freshwater habitats, crocodiles typically have a narrower V-shaped snout and are often found in coastal, brackish, and saltwater environments. Additionally, a key difference lies in their teeth. The fourth tooth on either side of the lower jaw of an alligator is hidden when the mouth is closed, while it is visible in a crocodile. So there you are, more than you ever wanted to know about crocs and gators. You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.